Step right up, step right up, and play the Virginia Lottery's newest games. The Skee-Ball Scratcher gives you the chance to win up to $150,000. And the Skee-Ball Print and Play gives you the chance to win up to $30,000. Skee-Ball is the funnest, easiest, crowd-pleasiest game on Earth. So, what are you waiting for? Skee-daddle to your local lottery retailer and play all of our Skee-Ball games in-store, in the app, or online at valottery.com/Skee-Ball.
We are audiostack.ai.
Combining AI writing, the best synthetic voices,
with production and delivery.
Be it ads, podcasts, or VOs for video.
Just like this ad. How would you utilize AI audio? For free.
Go to audiostack.ai/contest.
Give us just a few details.
And you could replace this spot and be heard by millions.
See webpage for T's and C's. audiostack.ai/contest.
Welcome to another episode of Crazy Fitness Guy Healthy Living Podcast / Weekly Motivation with Crazy Fitness Guy. Now, I'm usually at karate on Monday nights, but because I have my author friend in the building, virtually in the building, not in the same exact room, but wouldn't that be awesome? I got to meet Luke Murphy in the same exact room. That would be great.
Maybe someday.
Exactly. We should definitely do it. He's written how many books then is it? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 or 4?
Seven, yeah.
I'm gonna full disclosure, I have not read his new book yet, but I can only say that it's gonna definitely be amazing because he's definitely an amazing author. And I'm just going to dive into it this episode without any wasting more time, because why not? Welcome aboard, Luke Murphy.
Thanks for having me, Jimmy. It's always fun.
So before we get started, can you give us a little synopsis about your new book that just came out, I believe September-ish?
Yeah, it was the end of the month, and yeah, absolutely. I'll give you a little synopsis. So The Cradle Will Fall is, I'd say, a sequel to Rockabye Baby, which makes sense because of Rockabye Baby, The Cradle Will Fall. So it's featuring Charlene Taylor and Calvin Waters, who are the two protagonists in my series. So I have the two series going. I've decided for the second time these two would be in the same book together. I originally had them together in Red Zone, which was back in 2020. And so I decided to put them in together again. It's following a case. I don't want to give too much away for those readers who haven't read it yet, including yourself. So it is following the same case that they followed back in Rockabye Baby. So for those of you who read that, it was about a baby selling ring. Where American babies were being kidnapped and sold overseas. And so basically the case is reopened, and Charlene and Calvin go overseas to the Ukraine to investigate. And, well, you'll have to read the rest to find out what happens.
Leaves it on a cliffhanger. So I'm going to ask you a question. Why... what keeps you going as an author writing these books? Because I know, like, I read pretty much all of them except for the recent one. And I see you, like, leaving cliffhangers and cliffhangers, twists and turns. And it's like, how do you get all these ideas in your head? Because, like, you know, like, sometimes my idea is just like, I can't put them all together.
Yeah. It's hard for me to pinpoint one certain location or time where ideas come to me. It's funny because I remember when I released my first novel in 2012 and nobody really knew I wrote, like none of my friends or none of my family. I remember my wife's friends coming up to her and saying, like, your husband has a weird mind. And so, I, you know, for this novel in particular, The Cradle Will Fall, I kind of had the idea right as I was ending Rockabye Baby, right as I was coming to the conclusion, finishing off the novel Rockabye Baby. I kind of had an idea how I could extend this story and another path I could follow in terms of this investigation with these characters. So the idea came just as I was writing. Like, I don't know why it came out of the blue like it did, but as I was, like, as I said, as I was completing that novel, I had this could happen too. So I kind of held on to that because I wrote another book in between, a novel in between, just with Calvin Waters. So I had to keep hold of those ideas and jot them down for a later date. And so the novel was actually supposed to come out last year, but with the war in Ukraine happening and with my book being set in Ukraine, I didn't really feel it was probably a good time to release a book where it made the Ukrainians and Russians look bad. So I waited for this year, and so I released it last month, a couple months now ago, I guess. I've been very happy with reviews so far.
That's good. And yeah, I also wanted to ask, like, theoretically, if some Hollywood producer came to you to make a movie of Charlene Taylor or Calvin Waters, who could you see playing the two?
That's a really good question. So whenever I first created the novels, the characters, I think you always kind of have an image in mind of someone who, if you were looking at them, what they would look like. I know when I first created Calvin Waters, the first novel was released in 2012, but I actually started writing the story in 2005. So again, that's almost 20 years ago. And back then I had Denzel Washington in my mind. Obviously Denzel would be too old now to play the part, but when I first created the character, that was the person I had kind of envisioned as a Calvin Waters. And then as the years go on, you've got someone like The Rock. I think The Rock would have made a really good Calvin Waters. Jamie Foxx at one point was another guy I was thinking about. So certainly, you know, the guy who plays Black Panther in those movies, his name, I can't think of his name right now, but there's another, you know, there's been lots of people on screen I see as potential. As for Charlene, I never really thought as much about Charlene Taylor. Monica Potter might have been the one when I first originally started writing Charlene way back in 2001. So that was when I first created Charlene Taylor. I had seen Monica Potter on a movie, a James Patterson movie. So, and I saw my novels as similar to the James Patterson style. Genre and, you know, the short chapters, the quick reads. And I saw her in his movie. I can't think of the name of the movie now. Anyways, it was a really good movie. And she was a character in there, and I kind of pictured her as maybe being Charlene Taylor. But again, that was, you know, 25 years ago almost. So, again, she's probably too old now to play Charlene. So, but it's funny you bring this up because I currently have a film agent shopping around a Charlene Taylor screenplay that I put together with a screenwriter. Kiss and Tell, we turned it into a screenplay, and she is currently shopping it around to producers and directors and movie companies and, of course, streaming services to try to see if there's any interest in having a Charlene Taylor movie on the screen. So it's good timing for that question, Jimmy, and it's a great question. But as I said, who I originally had for those characters, they're kind of too old now, so I'd have to do some shopping around.
Well, not to fuel any flames of the fire in Hollywood, but And maybe this might sound a little controversial, but let's just say if M. Night Shyamalan comes along and offers to direct the movie, run the hell away. Only because he botched one of my favorite shows because he just didn't like it. And he's like, I can make it better. And it's like, yeah, it's got like almost like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, so almost perfect score, and you think you can make it better.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, if he gives me enough money, Jimmy, you know, I don't know if I can turn him down.
I would turn him down. I'm sorry. I admit I haven't seen any of his current films because it's just like a lot of terror and whatnot, or forget everything that you know about a web browser because you will be blown away by Sidekick browser. It's no ordinary web browser like Firefox, Google Chrome, Microsoft Edge, and all the other web browsers out there. It's based on productivity, and let me just name a few other functionalities that it has. It's very fast. It blocks ads by default. You don't see that with Google Chrome, do you? Nope. And there's also a built-in sidebar, so you can have all your tools and systems all in one place without having to go search and wait for the web page to load. It's just right there with the click of a button. Try Sidekick out below with the link in the show notes and descriptions for more information about Sidekick. It'll boost your productivity probably tenfold. Because that's what I use it for, is productivity. Check out Sidekick and tell them I sent you. I like thriller kind of stuff that, like spooky kind of stuff doesn't appeal to me. And my brain is like on automatic replay. And so it's like, if I see one of those movies, I'm like, great. Now I'm going to go to bed with all that stuff in my mind. Great. Lovely. So I admit that maybe he's learned a few from his past mistakes, but I was like, still, it's like, it just hurts me after watching that for 2 hours. And what the hell did I watch? Worst 2 hour film I ever seen. And what I'm talking about is the Last Airbender. That's what he called it.
Yeah. No, not recommended. No.
And there's a lot of people who say, like, it's really good. And then the people who actually saw the original series, like, this is really, really bad. You'll see a mix of people with that.
Nice. I'll take your word.
So my next question for you is, during some of these books, have you ever like toyed with like killing off with one of the other main characters in the books, or?
No, that's always a possibility. I have had reoccurring characters that have died off that have been killed. I've never had one of my major ones killed. I always wondered what the blowback would be from readers about killing off a character they had grown to love, or you know, that they had been following for three or four or multiple books. I always wondered what authors, you know, I write for my readers, so I wouldn't want to write something that would make them want to stop reading. Right. You certainly, as a writer, I would try to cater to my readers. So I try to create characters that they can make connections with, who are, you know, flawed, very human, again, that they can relate to. So I've never killed off one of my main characters. I haven't even thought of it really. But I mean, the possibility is always open, right? There's always a chance that it could happen down the line somewhere if it fit into the story plot and if I thought it would really help to push the story ahead, push the series ahead.
I was the reason I brought up that question is because I saw it. I get a lot of recommendation emails of like from Amazon about genres I'm interested in and whatnot. And like, of course, I'm a fan of James Patterson and whatnot. His latest title was like Alex Cross Must Die. And like, and the before that was, Kill Alex Cross. And it's like, what is wrong with this guy? It's like, are you trying to kill your main character? Like, what the hell are you dealing with?
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if Alex Cross dies, because he makes James Patterson a lot of money, that character. And there would be no series, right? Once he's dead, then unless they create somehow how one of his children takes over his cases or something. But, you know, to kill off a character that has made that man so much money and so much fame and fortune that it would be gutsy to do for sure, but you wouldn't hold it past James Patterson because he pretty well is the master at the genre. So, you know, he usually, everything he does usually turns out successful.
Yeah. But I was like, kind of worried. It's like, should I read this? I was like, what the heck is going on? It's like, I know that there's bad guys trying to kill Alex Cross, but holy moly. Okay, kill Alex Cross and Alex Cross must die. And it's like, I know that, like, his earlier novels was like, wasn't even killing Alex Cross. And I was like, I get he made enemies, but holy crap. It's like, victim number one, he must go.
Yes, he has a lot of enemies for sure in those novels.
So I want to ask you, my next question for you is, when you're writing these books, how do you figure, do you have the plot in mind when you're doing it, or do you just like, you know, I'm going to wing it and then I might just revamp it after a while?
Yeah, so every novel has been different. Some novels I plot all the way out from, you know, first page to last page. I have the problem and the solution all figured out. And some novels, as you said, I just kind of wing it. I know how I want to get it started. I know the characters I want. So as I start writing, you know, it might come to me where I can go to next. And some novels I plot out as I go. So I'll plot out chapter by chapter. So I'll write a chapter and then I'll leave myself notes about what I want the next chapter to read. So I've done kind of all three types of things. It's certainly a lot easier to write when you plot it all out ahead of time. It's certainly a lot faster to go. But I don't really have a preference. Again, every book is different and it depends you know, how many ideas I have going into it. So most of my plotting starts in the 2 weeks of final exams at high school. So as I'm an invigilator in the gym, you know, you walk up and down the aisles of the desk, all the desks are in the gym, and you walk up and down the aisles as kids are writing their exam just to make sure no one's cheating. And I'll have a little notepad with me and I'm jotting down notes for my summer, because I know that's what I want to do the first day of summer holidays is start working on draft one of my new novel. So I usually start planning those 2 weeks. So it depends how the planning goes. If I have a lot of notes, then perfect. I can get going. If I don't have a lot of notes, then it'll be a wing it type of a novel.
Well, I know for myself, sometimes when I'm writing something for my articles on my website or articles for publications, like I know what I want to write in mind, but then sometimes I just like, yeah, I'm just going to go pitch it to somebody. If they like it, great. If they don't, I'll just publish myself and it's like I published.
And yeah, that's another, like, I might have a full page of notes and I might not use any of them. Like, I might start writing and say, yeah, no, this isn't going to work. I need to go in a different direction and just change my mind. So just like you, it's when you sit down and get ready to write, that's when you make a decision whether you're going to write what you had planned, or if you're going to ad lib a little bit and go off the path.
Have you ever experienced like a severe writer block? Then
that's a good question. So when I traditionally publish, my first three novels, and that's kind of when it's a little more stressful, because your agent and editors and publishers are giving you deadlines that you need to hit, and it's you can get writer's block, right? You sit down and say, okay, I need to have 5,000 words written today, and then all of a sudden, boom, you get hit with writer's block, and then the stress starts, right? Because you know you have deadlines. My last four novels have been self-published, and I don't give myself any deadlines. So if I do have writer's block, as you call it, if I sit down and nothing's coming, I don't stress. I just shut the computer off and go to bed, right? And then I'll get up the next day and turn the computer back on and see what happens. So I never struggle from writer's block in terms of, you know, days, weeks, months at a time. I've been fortunate, I guess, but as a self-published author now, it wouldn't stress me if I did, because I have nobody other than my readers. That is one thing, with being a self-published author, is you have readers waiting for your next book. So you're, you're always waiting for, your readers are always waiting for that next book. And if you go too long between books, you know, chances are I'm going to be forgotten about because I'm not James Patterson. Yes, from your lips to God's ears. So if you're not a big name, well-known author, there's a chance you're going to get forgotten about if you don't have novels coming out at least once every couple of years. So that's my pressure I put on myself is for my readers, because I don't want to lose my readers. I don't have a lot of readers compared to some authors, but they are certainly one of the most loyal groups I've ever been connected with. They're great on social media. They interact. They share things. They're giving me feedback all the time, and so certainly I wouldn't want to let them down.
Well, to be honest, I will always be one of your readers, and I'm not just saying that, especially because sorry to admit this to you and to James Patterson, but I'm literally behind like the rest of the Alex Cross series, mm-hmm. and then also this NYPD Red series I was reading. Like, I'm behind two books of that. Probably like eight books of the Alex Cross series, and I'm only one book behind yours. So,
I appreciate that, certainly do. But the fact is, James Patterson comes out with a book I think every month, so it'd be easy to fall behind. I think he has like a whole team of writers, and he just kind of writes his name on the cover and. Like, I think he has multiple people working for him where he just kind of looks it over to make sure it's okay. But for someone to release as many novels as he does, it's unbelievable.
Sometimes I think he's like a robot that doesn't sleep. He's secretly an alien from outer space. He's like, 6,000 books later.
It's crazy.
You know, I should go. I think after this, I'm going to have to Google, like, how many books does James Patterson have? It probably is like 6 million books or something.
That would be interesting to see.
So, what inspires you to keep going as a writer? Because you said you've written how many books? 4 or 5? Or
I've written 7. I've published 7.
Oh, my apology. Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's an easy question. Absolutely, it is my readers. That's what inspires me. That's what motivates me. That's what keeps me going. As I said, I have a nice little stable of readers right now who I really care about and really want to keep them. I want to keep impressing them and keep them entertained. So those are the people I write for. Absolutely.
Have you ever thought about writing a spy novel?
I thought about going into other genres. The thing is that for me, I'm a bit of a perfectionist and I'd want to write, you know, the best novel I could. So in order for me to write in another genre, I'd have to start reading other genres and get to know what readers are looking for and things. So mystery, thriller, suspense, those are the types of books I read, the type of movies I watch. So it kind of made sense for me to write in those genres. If I was going to write in another genre, I'd certainly have to do some research first to figure out what I needed to do.
Makes sense. Like, for instance, I actually saw, I don't know if you ever heard of this author. His name's Anthony Horowitz. I think I just saw something on his social media at some point. I mean, it was from Amazon. He just started like writing a James Bond novel, and I was like, huh, interesting. And it's like, yeah. I think they should have just gave him that to him the first time because he was writing all these Alex Rider books and everything. I'm like, thanks to our sponsorship with Deep Stash. You're probably wondering, what the heck is Deep Stash? Well, Deep Stash allows you to learn new stuff every single day. You can become the smartest person in the room with unlimited access to 200,000 plus powerful ideas from top books, podcasts, and more. They have a generous free plan. And if you want to check them out, click the link below in the podcast descriptions. Either or will work. But definitely check them out, because if you're a daily learner like me and like to learn new stuff, I don't always have time to read 11-minute articles or 15-minute articles during the day. So with Deep Stash, I can listen to them on the go while I'm driving the car or on an airplane, etc. So go check out my friends at Deep Stash. You won't regret it. Why didn't they just go with him the first time around? I mean, I know somebody else wrote it before, but it's like, you should have gave him permission this, like, when I was the original stop, because like he's been writing spy novels for, like, I think his next Alex Rider's book is coming in January. And I think, and so they, so it's like, I think that's maybe like the, I like to say the 14th or 16th book in the series. So I'm only one behind of him. So it's like,
I've never read any of them, but I've heard of him. I heard he's very good. Never read any of his.
He also kind of reminds me like a little of your writing as well, just because he leaves a lot of cliffhangers. It's not like a criticism of James Patterson, but sometimes it just feels like, sometimes at the end of the book, it's like, oh, they caught the killer, and that's it. And it's like, if you can keep making them, it's like, that's great, but it's kind of like the Bones TV show after a while, where it's like, oh, we caught the killer, and it's like, that's not realistic in real life. And it's like, can you have like a continuation part two, or thank you, oh, we finally caught the killer, but then all of a sudden it just takes dramatic twist at the very end, and you're just like, your mouth just drops open, like, huh?
Leaves you wanting more.
Yeah. I remember in your last book, you like one of the people that I think Calvin met, he like, you just like offed his, like off the other guy is just like instantly. And it's like, I was like, I thought that was the guy who did it. And it was like, it is often. It's like, obviously this is not the guy. It's like, Luke Murphy is always one step ahead of me. Damn it. I can't figure this out. So my next question for you is, when you're watching TV shows and movies and murder, mystery and mayhem, so to speak, what kind of, like, do you get any inspiration from those stuff? And has anybody ever said, like, are you a little sickened up in the upstairs area? Or
I think I said this earlier. My wife's friends were talking to her like, "Oh, geez, your husband has a really weird mind, and I don't know what he's thinking half the time." But for your other question about the movies, if I watch the murder suspense movies and what I'm thinking and stuff, and you got to be really careful about making sure that you're not taking things from movies you watch or books you read. And normally when I'm writing a first draft of a novel, I'm not reading anything at that time because I wouldn't want to, subconsciously steal something that was in a book or that was in a movie or something. So, the fact is there's only so many plots in the world, so many conflicts that eventually they're going to overlap, right? Other books, but you want to make sure to distinguish it somehow. If they're comparing the two books, that make yours different somehow, that makes readers want to read yours or make it, a little bit better somehow. But certainly it's tough because I'm writing murder mysteries and there's a lot of authors out there writing murder mysteries. So, even the simple thing of as a kidnapping case, I mean, how many books and movies have you seen about kidnapping cases? There's lots of them, right? So you've got to try to do something a little different in yours that sets it apart from those other stories that are similar in a way. And I think that
we are audiostack.ai.
Combining AI writing, the best synthetic voices,
with production and delivery.
Be it ads, podcasts, or VOs for video.
Just like this ad. How would you utilize AI audio? For free.
Go to audiostack.ai/contest.
Give us just a few details.
And you could replace this spot and be heard by millions.
See webpage for T's and C's. audiostack.ai/contest.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I don't want to say it's kind of ruined movies for me, but I think as I'm watching a murder mystery or something now and I'm like, yeah, that's unrealistic, or, why did they do that when they should have done this type thing? I think I'm a little more critical of movies and books and stuff. And so maybe it just doesn't let me kind of relax and enjoy it as much as I probably should. Don't get me wrong. I love movies. I love a good book and stuff. So I still see a lot of them, but it might make me think a little differently because now that I write stuff similarly to that. But and my wife will always say, would you have written it like that or type thing? So it's kind of fun to think, what if the author would have done this, or what if the screenwriter would have went this way. Going back to your original question, I try not to pull things that I've seen again, even if it's subconsciously and I don't even think about doing it. And then later on, you're like, oh crap, that was the same thing I saw in that movie. So you got to be really careful with things like that.
So my next question is for you is like, how would that work? Like, but let's just say if you didn't, you're deliberately taken from like a show, but let's say somebody in the show like poisoned somebody or something, and it's like in your book somebody poisoned somebody, it's like, how can they prove it? And it's like, oh, you saw it from our show. It's like, but any murder person can literally poison somebody. Anybody?
Yeah, I don't think there's any way you could prove it. I mean, it's funny because my Calvin Waters character, I read a novel a few years ago from David Baldacci, who's an excellent, one of my favorite authors. And he had a character, a main character in one of his novels that was like identical to Calvin Waters. The same, they looked the same, they acted the same. They were both former football players. Like, it was like, I remember one of my readers actually reaching out to me saying, have you read this novel? You need to read this and check this character out. And I did. And I'm like, wow, I couldn't believe the resemblances. And there's no way that David Baldacci, who's a world famous millionaire author, ever stole it from me. But it just goes to show that there's only so many, you know, characters and plots and stuff that eventually something will overlap. And, you know, it's certainly nothing intentional. I know that he obviously didn't steal off me. He would never need to. But it's funny that eventually things will overlap. And you got to know that it's not intentional that, you know, and then there's certainly copyright infringements out there that, you know, that people have ownership to that you can't steal. So, you know, I don't think that authors would steal from each other. You know, they have their own ideas. And but like you said, there's lots of times where things look very similar that it makes you wonder, like, you know, did they, you know, maybe borrow something from me?
Well, I would like to hope that writers don't steal from others. And also, like, for instance, I was reading this other book and it got me thinking. It's like, didn't I just read something similar to this thing? But I was like, but then my brain kind of had like a brain fart because I read a lot of different books throughout the year, and say, I can't pinpoint it, but I was like, I'm just going to let that theory go just because it's like, I'm not going to dig myself through all of that because like, what good is it going to come to? And I was like, not really much. And I was like, it might make me look bad. I was like, Jimmy, you have too much time on your hands. I don't. So my next question for you is, where do you think you would see Calvin and Charlene in the next couple of years?
Well, I'm hoping I'm still writing novels featuring those two protagonists. I know I've had great reviews and great comments from readers that they love the characters. So certainly I'd like to continue to have them grow. You know, and they're going to get older, so certainly things are going to change in their lives, right? Priorities change and ideas change and, you know, what's important to them will change. You know, I don't want to give too much away because I don't really know a whole lot, but, you know, certainly families might be created, you know, children come along, things like that. It's going to be a book-to-book basis. And a lot of times the stories will take me places I've never really thought about, right? The characters and stories will take me places that weren't on my radar to begin with, and I'll have ideas as I go along. So, you know, that's a pretty good question. I've never been asked that before, but I certainly would like to continue writing both from Charlene and Calvin's perspectives.
I was actually also talking to someone else today about how I feel very related to Calvin in many ways. I'm never played football or whatnot, but I've actually just been diagnosed with mild arthritis in my right knee, and I was like, wow, I can act, and I feel very relatable to Calvin Waters here. And it's like, because I remember in the books, he suffers from different arthritis and severe pain in certain places due to football injuries and whatnot. But it's like, well, at least now I can feel relatable to enough to a fictional character. And it's like, that's good. I mean, obviously, I know other people in real life would have arthritis as well, but it's also enjoyable to be able to relate to a fictional book character, especially because I read this book. I read a lot of Luke Murphy's books, and it's like, I like being relatable to these characters. It's like, it feels great.
And I was the same as a reader. I mean, and that's where I try to create for my readers is characters they can make a connection with, they can relate to. I know I'm a fiction writer, but I want things as close to reality as possible, whether that's plots or characters or details. You try to make it as close to reality. And so I think that the more you can get readers to root for a character, the more they'll want to read about them.
So my next question is like a theoretical question. Could you ever see Calvin Waters and Charlene Taylor start dating?
Oh, absolutely. I could see that. And I've had other people, readers, ask me about that. That, you know, they thought that there'd be hints in there that, oh my gosh, are they going to get together or whatever? But I did create. They're both in committed relationships right now with other people. But I would never say never down the road. Never know what happens. In this novel, Cradle Will Fall, they actually are playing the part as husband and wife. For the undercover case they're working. So, you know, there's always a hint there. Always, is something going to happen? Is there going to be a spark as they're sharing a hotel room, et cetera? Is anything going to happen? So, you know, down the road, I never say that's not a possibility. I'm always open to new ideas.
I so can't wait to read this book because
Hydro Flask is the best water bottle in my opinion because it keeps my water nice, cold, and refreshing throughout the day. And yes, I do drink a lot of water throughout the day, so even though it stays colder for longer, I still like having a reusable water bottle like Hydro Flask because it just sits on my desk and and reminds me, hey, you gotta drink water. And Hydro Flask, it keeps it cold longer, which makes me want to drink more water throughout the day because, you know, there's nothing worse than drinking warm water. Go to hydroflask.com. And use the link in the show notes. And yes, I do get a small commission from Hydro Flask, so which also helps support the show. So tell them I sent you. Use the link below. And yeah, check out hydroflask.com for more information.
Have you ever... Has this book ever been transformed into an audiobook yet?
I'm in the middle of doing that actually right now. My narrators are done their clips, and I'm just listening through them, checking for any editing issues. So, you know, background noise or repetition or stuttering or pauses that shouldn't be there. Or so I'm actually I'm about halfway through. So. I'm hoping for maybe a January release for that.
Yeah. I said to somebody that I don't think I could ever do a narration for an audiobook because my voice sounds like a nails on a chalkboard every time when I listen to myself talking in podcasts and people's like, your voice isn't that bad. And it's like, it's not a James Earl Jones voice. It's not Morgan Freeman. My voice is like, I can't stand it.
No, your voice isn't that bad. But I think that everybody, we just naturally don't like the sound of our voice. I know I'm I'm the same when I listen to one of my interviews or whatever afterwards. I'm like, oh my God, I sound like that. I could never narrate one of my own novels. There's just no way.
Well, here's a fun fact. I uploaded a YouTube video on my channel just two days ago. And actually, 3 days ago. And the person, and it was me presenting at my aunt's school. You can barely hear any words of what I'm saying. It was filmed on my aunt's phone. And I was like, if I knew, is it going to be this terrible quality? And I mean, the people in the room can hear me, but the microphone on the phone couldn't hear me. I was like, and I was like thinking to myself, my aunt has an iPhone and everything. And yes, I'm going to stir up some drama. I know, here comes. I was like, oh, way to go, Apple. It's like, you can't make a decent microphone for $1,000 phone. And I know I'm going to get some kickback on that, but I'm an Android user. So what are you going to do about that? but I was like, oh, that's terrible quality. If I knew, I'm not going to be uploaded. But I was like, okay, you know, maybe sometime next week, if I have time, I'm going to go take it off of YouTube and I'm going to put in my video editing tool to make it higher because you can't hear anything. I'm like, and I just pitched this to my middle school to speak at it. I was like, oh, that's great. If I knew it was going to be this crappy, I wouldn't even send it. And I was like, oh, that's great. I was like, they should have given me a microphone. But so my next question for you is, what do you think let's say one of your books does come into a movie, which book would you want it to be?
See, I always pictured Calvin Waters as being on the screen. So Dead Man's Hand, the first Calvin Waters novel. I always thought, I don't know, just when I was creating that novel, I always pictured it. So as I was going scene by scene, I was picturing frame by frame of what it would look like on screen. But when the screenwriter, my screenwriter friend that I just met that reached out to me about turning my novels into screenplay, he chose Kiss and Tell. He chose the Charlene Taylor series because he said that right now Hollywood is all about leading ladies. Female protagonists are really becoming popular right now in Hollywood. So he thought that had the best possibility of being picked up. So that's the one. I had always pictured Calvin Waters, but we did the Charlene Taylor series as a screenplay because he thought that would have the best option of being picked up by studio.
Well,
hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
If you don't mind, if I share you with an opinion, I could see the very first Charlene Taylor novel, and then maybe an introduction to Calvin Waters with Charlene. So then there's like, oh, okay, here's an introduction to Calvin, and then like as a possibility, then there's like, oh, and it's like, and then if they want to introduce Calvin as a standalone, then they can do that. But just as like, oh, it's not a male than a female. It's a female than a male, whatever, however one wants to look
at
it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Because like, just from my point of view, like, you know, Calvin's kind of like rough around the edges a little bit. And if somebody's not fairly familiar with reading the books and whatnot, there's like, oh, that's a little rough around the edges, and it's like this could be rated R or whatnot. I'm not saying it would be, but I mean, like, I don't know who rates the movies and whatnot, but it's like this could be rated R due to like Calvin like beating the crap out of people in Las Vegas, so to speak. No spoilers. Oh, okay, spoiler. And then, but like then Charlene Taylor, who plays by the rules to an extent, she's a badass.
Yeah, she really is. You're right. Yeah.
I would not want to mess with her. Nope. Tough cookie. Yeah. Oh, yikes. Good thing. Oh, well, yeah. Good thing that Calvin doesn't end up with her yet, because imagine if you had to buy her a birthday present. Holy crap! And it's like that would be one picky person. Is like, what do I pick out for her? Yikes! You know what? Here's a fun question I want to ask you: if Calvin and Charlene ended up together, could you see them like picturing? Could you picture them like having a lot of fights because of the two that would just butt heads together?
Yeah, you're right. They are very maybe too similar in attitude, right? They both want to get their own way. They don't really necessarily work well with others. They both, you know, they both have their own ideas. And as I said, they want things done their own way. They're perfectionists at what they do. They want to be the best at everything. And they might collide. Their egos could collide for sure. But the two books that I wrote with them, they seem to work well together as a team. Again, that would be totally different in a relationship. But just as a team, they seem to get along well and kind of feed off each other, and not necessarily trying to one up each other, but being motivated and inspired by each other.
Could you ever see Calvin Waters like joining the task force with Charlene and being his like new so-called partner, not like romantic partner, but partner?
Yeah, no, I don't think Calvin likes to play by rules or laws. I think he likes to be able to take the law into his own hands when that's called upon. I don't think we write him as not really someone who loves police officers, loves the law. So he's, you know, he's got a brother in law enforcement, and then he has his best friends who are detectives in Vegas too. So I think he just likes kind of being a cowboy and being able to do his own thing and not worry about whether he's breaking a law or not, or breaking the police code.
Yeah, I think you what you did with Calvin Waters, he was a private investigator, correct?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah.
I definitely like that. I think what's kind of fun about those books is because it's like sometimes you like the average Joe on is like, oh man, I wish I could do something about this, but I have no, I can't do anything about a certain thing. But when you're reading about it, it's kind of like those feel good TV shows. It's like, and I'm like, wouldn't that just be kind of, there's this movie called The Champions with Woody Harrison, pronounce his last name.
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, and he's teaching this like group of special, I don't want to say special needs, a group with extra challenges.
Yeah,
with all different personality types and whatnot, and they all have and these actors who they all have those challenges in real life. They're not just like portraying it in the movies. And one thing I really liked about it, and one thing I would like them to, I could have seen the main character probably by Woody would have been like, well, not to give away spoilers, but like one of the people on the team gets fired from his job. I'm not going to say which job, but he's like, I could see them like writing a letter to a article in the newspaper and getting those restaurants shut down the business shut down. And I was like, that'd been really cool, but they went some other kind of way, and which is kind of weird because, and it didn't make sense to me because anybody could look up anybody on the internet and see if the person's real or not. So I was like, that would never happen in real life because it's like, and in the whole movie, they all have like smartphones and whatnot. So it's like, okay, this is not like be flip phones and whatnot. So it's like anybody could look up anything anywhere. So it's like this is not realistic to me. And it's like the letter would have been, the article would have been so much like a nice touch to it. And it's like, but that's just my point of view. But basically, my point was to, I don't know where my point was going on that, but my point was that it was basically just was like a feel good movie, but it's also just a like something's like, oh, I wish I could do something like that. And it's like just help someone out. And it's like, oh, just be kind of like Calvin Waters. And it's like, I don't play by the damn rules.
There you go.
not like illegal or whatnot, but just like, but it's like, oh, I wish I could tell this to somebody, but I can't do this. just because like it would ruin my reputation or someone else's reputation. And it's like, I was like, if only you could go break in that person's office, damn it. So my last few questions is, where can people follow you, find you, and learn more about who you are and what you do, and where can they find your books?
Yeah, so I'm on all social media. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or X, I guess they call it now. Just look up author Luke Murphy. I also have a website, authorlukemurphy.com. They can join my mailing list on my website. As for my books, the ebook is available on Amazon. Paperback also available on Amazon and maybe in bookstores and libraries. You need to go to your local bookstore to find out. Again, I don't know which bookstores carry it. I never know unless I go in and actually look for them. But your best bet is always Amazon. I'll look up Luke Murphy, and I've got 7 novels on there. And the audiobooks, all my audiobooks are also on audible.com. So if you're interested in that, again, Rockabye Baby is on there, but The Cradle Will Fall, my newest novel, is not on there yet. Hopefully, certainly in 2024, it will be on there. So that is a current work in progress.
And my next question for you is, who's your favorite podcaster and why? And feel free not to say me.
Well, it would be you. To be honest, I don't listen to a whole lot of podcasts. I like listening to sports shows, so anything in sports I enjoy. Again, when I'm in the vehicle, I'm usually driving one of my daughters somewhere. So I'm probably listening to their crappy music that kids listen to these days. And as I walk to work every day, so I probably just listen to downloaded playlists of 80s music that I listen to. I'm still living in the 80s, so I still like my 80s rock. I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, but I will listen to sports podcasts or sports shows. As much as, I like these gambling shows that break down different games, and they kind of give a different view of how people watch sports. And Spit and Chicklets is a really good one. I've listened to a few times. It's a hockey podcast, which, as you know, I'm a former hockey player, so I still love following the game. So, but certainly, Jimmy, you are one of the best around that you can't beat. So, and you always have me on your show whenever possible. So it's another reason to give you a listen.
Woohoo! Sweet. and you know, I was also, you know, our very first interview, I was telling somebody the other day that it's still there, and it was like, I think it was like my first book I read from you.
It was funny.
And I was like so nervous of meeting you, even though like even though it was like not even face to face, it was just over my phone. It was like the worst quality of audio ever on my end. I was like, no microphone, absolutely crap. And like, I mean, the content was great, just the sound quality was crap. And then finally, I got this video, this editing tool, and just how it magically makes everything sound clearer and everything else. It's like, if there was no technology today to do that, it's like, I'd be kind of screwed.
So, like, look how much your show's grown and how far you've come. So congratulations to you with sticking with it and putting in the hard work. And, you know, you deserve all the success you're getting now.
Thank you. And I'm definitely looking forward to reading your book. And I'm sorry I haven't read it yet. I've been meaning to, but with my trip to Ireland it was like, pretty much every day we were on the move from like, let's say 9 o'clock in the morning all the way to like 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's like, oh, I need a vacation from this vacation. And it's like 10 days, boom, 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 boom. It's like, oh, I'm exhausted.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, Jimmy. And, you know, don't stress over not reading the novel. Whenever you get to it, you get to it. I know you're a great fan of mine, and you do a lot to help support and promote my work. So, you know, again, anytime you want me to come on your show, I'm happy to do it. It's always a lot of fun.
Definitely. And I always enjoy reading your novels. And I just wanted to say that because, not that part, but I was like, I just wanted to apologize because it's like, I was like thinking, it's like, Luke Murphy's going to think I'm a deadbeat for not reading his new book. It's like, hey, how dare you tear out about my new book and you didn't even read the damn thing. I mean,
Not at all. You know, life's busy and you got a lot of things going on, so don't worry about it.
And to be honest, like all the library books I literally borrowed digitally from my Kindle on break, just literally all lapsed in. It's like return. It's like, okay, so I borrowed all these books thinking I was going to read all of them, and I only probably read, I think, a book and a half. So I'm kind of like behind on reading. Whoops.
All good.
I gotta go kick my butt for more reading. Well, it was nice having you on, and you're always welcome on. And I'm gonna definitely, once I finish this current book, I'm gonna read it, and I'm gonna send you a review about it.
Love it. Thank
you. On my website and eventually on Amazon.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. I appreciate you having me on. Take care and all the best.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. So that's all the time we have for today. If you enjoyed it, please leave a review, subscribe to the show. And until next time, you can follow me on Jimmy Clare Speaker on Facebook and Instagram and Jimmy Clare Speaker on Twitter. You can follow Crazy Fitness Guy at Crazy Fitness Guy on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. X. And if you want to, I want to say this. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm going to say subscribe to the monthly newsletter. So, because I just launched our Discord server. I keep wanting to call them channels. I launched the Discord server. So make sure you join it and you get some extra perks. And there's no Mark Zuckerberg like on Facebook. So check out the Discord server. I forgot I had to add it to the newsletter. So, yeah, just subscribe to the newsletter, and I'll send it to you by the newsletter. And in the meantime, I'll be back for another brand new episode of Crazy Fitness Guy Healthy Living Podcast / Weekly Motivation with Crazy Fitness Guy. In the meantime, peace.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.